invitation and the opportunity to speak. I'll speak about onset of random matrix behavior in Scrum Link System. And this is a talk based on a paper with my collaborators, Steve Shankar, Masanori Hanada, and Masaki Tezuka. So to start with, I'll start with an outline. So I'll go over some basic overview of random matrix theory, some concept and spectral like quantities we're interested in. And then I'll talk about some questions of many-body chaos present some numerical results. And then I'll use random circuits, general random quantum circuits, and random circuits with conserved charges to gain some physical intuition for spectral properties we want to understand. So to start with, let's start with a random matrix theory. So the partition function for the random matrix Hamiltonian, L is the dimension of the Hamiltonian, and it's a Hermitian Hamiltonian given with a following partition function. It's an ensemble of Hamiltonians, right? And different values of B corresponds to different universal classes, GOE, GUE, and GSE. And so the first spectral quantity we can look is to the spectrum of these Hamiltonians. And the spectrum is given with a famous Wigner semicircle has following equation. And so if you imagine like that, you take a random Hamiltonian from this ensemble, you diagonalize it, and the eigenvalues, there's like L of them, are spread in this semicircle with a certain like distribution. And the second quantity that can be studied is the nearest neighbor distribution, so-called. Basically, we look at all different eigenvalues, and let's call Sn the difference between the nearby ones, so like typical gap size. And for the random Hamiltonians from this given ensembles, we can actually compute the distribution of this. It's known as the Wigner Sermis, and it has the following form. It's S to some power B, which is depending on which ensemble we're in, and E to the minus S square term. And the interesting thing is this nearest neighbor distribution can serve as a powerful tool for distinguishing chaotic and non-chaotic systems. Specifically, if we have an integrable system, the distribution of the nearest neighbors will be a Poisson-like, which is the dashed line here. Whereas if you have a chaotic Hamiltonian, it's typically it's given by the Wigner Sermis and has a much different behavior, as you can see in the plot. And so the next quantity of interest is like if we're interested to understand the statistics of eigenvalues beyond the nearest neighbors, so like correlations of much further eigenvalues. And to understand that, we can write down the action of this system. For example, taking the example of the GUE as an integral over all possible densities. And the eigenvalues, we will have a repulsion. So we will have like, you can think about the eigenvalues of these random Hamiltonians as like a fluid where that has a logarithmic repulsion. It's like another name for this is a Dyson gas. And then you can ask like about, try to understand the two-point correlations of this eigenvalues. This is like the second interesting thing after spectrum and the nearest neighbor distribution. And for the random matrix theories, there's a quantity that's actually is like much simpler and more intuitive to understand the eigenvalue statistics. It's called spectral form factor. So if we call z beta t the Lorentzian evolved partition function, so it's the trace e to the minus beta h and then time evolved with the Lorentzian time t, and then we take z star and then average over the ensemble of the random matrix ensemble we have. Then this, for the random matrix theories that are this chaotic Hamiltonians, we will have, in the rest of the talk, I'll consider beta equals zero, so infinite temperature limit, but most of the ideas, I think, generalizes to the finite temperature case, but for now, let's think about this quantity, let's call it GT, which is ZT, Z star T. That's essentially trace e to the minus beta, IHT e to the plus IHT, trace of both. Okay, so it's like a trace, a U trace U dagger, where U is the time evolution operator. And in the random matrix theories, this has a very simple behavior, this quantity called spectral form factor. And the behavior is like, it's a linear in time growth until it saturates at the value L, which is the dimension of the Hamiltonian. And the TR here for the random matrix theories is order one. So it's one, and then the T, which we'll call plateau time, this will be a ramp time, this will be plateau time, will be order L, because the linear grows all the way to L and saturates at that value. Okay, so what is it really? So what we're really doing by computing spectral form factor, we're essentially computing the Fourier transform of a two-point correlations of the energy. So if E1 and E2 are different energies in this in this distribution of the random matrix Hamiltonian, then we're simply taking the R E1 E2 correlator and Fourier transforming it. And the correlator is is known, this two-point function correlation is given by a so-called sine kernel, which is essentially like, if you take this value for the, can be analytically computed for random matrix theories, and you can Fourier transform it, and you'll get the linear and the linear growth and the plateau. But to study the correlation, it's simpler to study just in the Fourier transform form in time. So we'll focus on studying the spectral form factor, but this is identical to studying two-point correlations in the spectrum of a given Hamiltonian.
This is the connected
form. Yep. Yeah, that's right. It's a connected form. I'm ignoring the disconnected.
So the singularity of the density of states at the bottom of the angle, do they have any effect on this at all?
Singularities, I think they give you, you mean like the delta functions here? Or?
No, the square root at the end of the circle.
Oh, the edges. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm ignoring actually that, because the edges will give you oscillating terms. And this would cover up this part. So this is basically a so-called disconnected part.
The edges appear in the one-point function.
Yep. So you subtract the disconnected part and only keep the connected one. The edges appear in the Fourier transform of the density. It's just the density. Okay. Good. Good. So what we'll call the ramp time is the start of this universal behavior, which is order one in the random matrix theories. And the plateau will be the time this saturates, would be order L. Okay, now let's go about many-body chaos. So let's set up the question in a many-body chaos. To start with, this question of studying spectral form factor, or alternatively two-point function correlations in energy, was done in 70s by Altschuler and Sholkovsky, and then after that it was generalized, like a single body hopping problem, and then the banded matrix random Hamiltonians was later studied, and in those kind of systems the universal ramp and plateau was also seen, and the start of the ramp had to do with this the time it took for a particle to diffuse in the entire system, and which was scaled n squared, so it was the diffusion time of the particle, and then it's saturated at the time 2 to the n, which is the dimension. So in a many-body case, many-body chaos is much more like a recent field, so going beyond one single particle chaos, and in condensed matter and high-energy communities, there are two different approaches. One is as you have seen many talks about OTOCs, out of time order correlators that have to do with a chaos at the early times, and bound on chaos and early time chaotic features of the many body scrambling Hamiltonians. And the second approach would be to study the long time chaos, which is one approach is to study nearest neighbor distribution. So just take the Hamiltonian, diagonalize and see, look at the nearest neighbor distribution. And if it has a Wigner-Sermis form, then it has a long-time chaotic features. The other one is to actually the full spectral form factor, which will essentially study the chaotic late-time chaotic behavior starting from some ramp time, that this universal will appear in the spectral form factor. Good. So in a medibody chaos, this the one example that was kind of brought back all these questions about like spectral form factor in a medibody context was SYK model. And you know, you're all probably very familiar. It's a 4-point fermion, Majorana fermions. We have n fermions like coupled with the random interactions, and we have an ensemble of this random Hamiltonians, and everything we do we average over this ensemble. And so for the SYK model, the first thing was done by the Schenker and collaborators, and then Garcia Verbaschot, to study the spectral form factor numerically. So they basically just took the SYK Hamiltonian, diagonalized it, and tried to understand where is the whether there is this universal feature of universal ramp and plateau, and at what time scales these features appear. And so this is an example of numerical data for the SYK model for n equals 34, I think, fermions. Yeah, fermions. And then you see that there's about the time of 100 and above, there's these universals linear growth, which had to do with the spectral statistics being very well approximated by random matrix theory in the systems. And then there was the question of where this universal behavior starts. So the first estimate was that it starts is about this time scale 100, but then there is the problem of the edge contaminating the signal, which also had to do that SYK is similar to the random matrix theory, has very sharp edges, and one had to remove it to actually numerically study this more carefully. One had to figure out a numerical trick to remove it. So the numerical trick is to multiply the spectrum with the Gaussian filter, and if you do this and then you compute the spectral form factor, you see that the ramp, the linear growth of the spectral form factor continues all the way to order like 10 time, which is a factor of 20 like earlier than what they initially was estimated. So it appears that it's like a much earlier time scale, this universal feature. But this was a numerical finding at this point, and we wanted to get some physical intuition of like what this scale is, and SYK, like we didn't know how to do it rigorously. And generally, like for many body chaotic Hamiltonians, there's no systematic way to compute this quantity. There are some interesting results by Schenker and collaborators and Atland and Bagrets about this for SYK. But for other like XXE model or like Pauli, chaotic Pauli model, like it's not very like clear what would be the right strategy for computing the spectral form factor. And to try to get a handle on this like physical physical reasoning behind this timescale of the ramp, the start of the ramp, the onset of the statistical behavior, we decided to use like random circuits. And you know, things are much easier to compute in that context. And we essentially took two different like random circuits. So the first one we took, it's this brickwork random circuit dynamics, where each of these boxes is a Haar random unitary from U4 acting on n qubits. And then we run this system, and the UT will be the total unitary. And then we were gonna just compute the spectral form factor for the random circuit model, but we also wanted to understand physical phenomena behind it. We also looked at the random circuit with all-to-all interactions, so 1D versus all-to-all, to get some comparison between like scaling with n. And we actually generalized the spectral form factor to a quantity that felt more suited for the random circuits. It's instead of trace U dagger, we looked at the various values for k, trace u to the k, like higher moments of this k, because essentially for the Haar random unitary, if u was truly Haar random, this would have the same kind of linear ramp and plateau as in the random matrix theory. So essentially what we're studying is the approach of this random circuits to a hard distribution, but in a specific measure, not a general like a design measure, but in a specific measure given by FKT quantity. Okay, good. So for this random circuit model, we computed this quantity by like writing this as a like monomial terms, a bunch of monomials of the unitaries, and studying the dynamics using Harrow-Low techniques, who mapped the random circuit averaging of the unitaries to the Pauli chain on the it's a Markov chain on the Pauli bit string representation of the density matrix. So it's a way to map the averaging process of the unitaries, Harrow averaging, to a Pauli process with a certain rules on each of the times the gate is put in, and understanding the gap of this Markov chain was the question that will tell us like at what time scale spectral form factor will approach the Harrow value, which is equivalent of the time scale where the ramp is seen in the spectral form factor in the Hamiltonian setup. Okay, so after doing this calculation, which was actually done with Benny Yoshida and collaborators by mapping this quantity of spectral form factor to two-point correlations, decay of two-point correlations in the random circuit dynamics. So the conclusion is that for both 1D and all-to-all cases, the decay took the same amount of time. So essentially the ramp time in both cases was the same, so the connectivity of the circuit didn't matter for the spectral form factor to have a universal behavior, which was quite confusing for us because we did some numerical studies for the Hamiltonian systems and we observed something completely different. For example, in the 1D, so this is a two Hamiltonians with a randomly coupled Paulis. And we again study spectral form factor. And then one is with a 1D in a 1D string. The other is with all-to-all SYK-like interactions. And in one case, we have a sublinear, like in all-to-all interaction, the scaling with N shows sublinear behavior. It's hard to tell exactly what it is because we're looking for something like log N scaling. But in a 1D case, we actually see scaling with an N squared, as opposed to the random circuit model, which like doesn't differentiate between 1D and all-to-all interactions. So this kind of illustrated to us that the random circuits are perhaps not the right tool to study this question, the right way to model the Hamiltonian question. But as opposed to random circuits that can be used, actually this random circuit model for understanding the operator growth, they are actually quite powerful to tell you how the Hamiltonian dynamics works. But for this specific quantity, it didn't do that great of a job, and we were actually quite confused what would be the next steps to do. And luckily, we learned about this modified random circuits, which the random circuit I described so far had no conserved charge, it didn't conserve energy, didn't conserve anything. And the one modification to this circuit that seems quite physical to make and was to introduce some conservation law. So we did the introducing energy conservation will turn into Hamiltonian, which is like we don't know how to do it analytically yet. But one thing that we could do analytically was to introduce a conserved total spin. So modify the circuit. This was actually a circuit introduced by Kemani, Vishwanath, and Hughes for studying OTOCs. And we basically used the same circuit that conserved total spin in Z direction to study spectral form factor. And again, we have two different setups, like 1D circuit and two all-to-all interaction model. And So to be clear, what are the gates? So here, the gate set we're selecting from, instead of har random, gij being a har random unitary from U4, it's actually conserve the total spin, meaning that A, B, and C, A and C are U1, like har random, like complex numbers, and B is a har random from U2, and this preserves the total spin. So it's actually like, it mixes the system for the starting like initial condition, mixes the system only within some conserved total charge sector. So you need to look at the spectre for properties in that specific sector. But you can set up the problem that way, and the Pauli string you need to study, like the technique is very similar, just the Pauli string, you study the dynamics of the Markov chain you study for on the Pauli strings is slightly modified, it gets a bit complicated, but it's still possible to understand the gap and understand the convergence of this string, and the timescale of the convergence, and what we arrive at is that we get an estimate for the time for this circuit with the conserved total Z-spin behaving, the timescale for the start of the ramp, going from n square in a 1D case to the log n in a case of all-to-all interaction. And then we also learned that the physical phenomena behind this is the timescale it took for the local spin conserved charge, which is the spin in the direction in this case, to spread in the entire system. Somewhat analogous to what people already knew in a single particle setup, but here we have this for the total spin case. Right, even if the spin is like half of the spins are up and half of the spins are down. Good. So to conclude, I think our finding for our understanding is that for the chaotic many body systems with a conserved charge, the start of the ramp, onset of the ramp in a spectral form factor, is the time that it takes for the local charge to spread in the entire system. So what are the evidence for it at this point is, one is the single particle hopping and the bended matrix results that are out there. And then in this paper, we studied the random circuit with conserved spin and related the start of the ramp or thallus time to the spreading of the charge in to the charge as well. And then we have a Hamiltonian numerical evidence for the Hamiltonian systems and for the spin chains. And the other recent result that is for the specifically for SYK model is that Schenker and collaborators use the G and sigma variable, which are like this kind of gravity variables, and like doing completely different calculations. In the gravity setup, they also find that in these systems, the linear ramp starts at logarithmic in n and continues all the way to the 2 to the n over 2, like the size of the dimension, and saturates at that point. And there are some really interesting gravity implications of this, because the scale being log n or log entropy means that, you know, these are features that can even seen in a black hole context before the black hole is evaporated. Like, because if the scale was exponential in entropy or polynomial in entropy, there would be no signature of this universal behavior in the black hole, like SYK dual black hole. But now that the switcher starts in such an early time scale, there's hope to have some kind of gravitational interpretation to it. And there are some recent results. I'm not going to go into details about it, but I think it's exciting a direction to pursue. Yeah, I think that's it for me. I think I have.
Circuit and the one with conserved charge.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you look at the late time value of the
So I mean, how it does for the, if you just take the spectral form factor for the Brownian models, right? It like goes down and stays there. So you need to look at the higher moments, like higher case. Yeah, but I think like it converges and gets exponentially closer and closer to the hard value. If you are asking that, in that sense, we have seen.
So when you look at the other forms, you can see when you introduce conserved charges, I think latent behavior is different.
Oh yeah, no, we don't see anything like that here now. Yeah. I think here the fact is that you are only studying the mixing of the unitary in a specific block of the conserved charge. That's the only thing that modifies the Markov chain you have for the Pauli strings.
So what were you saying converges to the hard value?
Trace U to the K, trace U dagger to the K. For like K equals 1 and 2. Yep.
For the original SYK model, what is the time for energy to diffuse across? What is that time then?
So the conclusion, like our random circuit gives that the time scale for the SYK like all-to-all interaction, it will be start at log n, right, number of fermions, and then saturates at like 2 to the n over 2. I think that's the statement. So we get this for the random circuits, right, with a conserved like spin. Like we have this behavior in this model. But then there is a follow-up paper in Gene Sigma Quantities for SYK that also gets this, just like doing a Gene Sigma, like this instanton calculation. Really? I am not in that paper. It's more gravity thing, but yeah. Oh. That's a Steve.
What happened to the Schwarzschild? I thought there was a roll-off that's coming from the Schwarzschild.
Oh, yeah, but this ignores, like, you take out all that. That you subtract all of that, because then you have this thing called dip. This is like you have a 1 over t cube roll-off. And this goes down, like intersected exponential time. But this basically is just garbage that like covers up the universal features. Like you know how to get rid of that garbage on random matrix theory. Now, I think in SYK, like there's people who know how to do it with a G and sigma. Yep.
So if I just subtract the 1-point functions for SYK, what time scale would I get? You said it's the wrong time scale, but how off would you be?
Yeah, you are exponentially off. Yeah, because the estimate you get is to the square root of this. That's the estimate you get. Yeah. So you don't even get like polynomial in it. You get like exponential in it, as opposed to real feature appears in like log n. Yeah. Anything else, guys? Still have a few minutes.
Yeah.